Grade 2 Conference, Lecture 4, The Second Grader, Part 4. If we want to think of a very old image, we can think of the human being with two angels standing on her shoulders. One of them on the right side, usually the good angel, the other on the left side, the bad angel, sometimes shown even as a sort of demonic figure, both of them whispering into the ears of the human being. And we might say that by and large, it's the good angel, and this is really, as we'll see in a moment, the etheric body, which is going to be dominant in second grade. But there are times when that etheric body is very much occupied still in maintaining the body and helping the child deal with more weight or more length or whatever. And that is just when the other angel, not so good, is able to rise to a more audible nature. And this is when we start to get especially the divisiveness. And as I say again, divisiveness is a strong word, and it's usually something that we don't want, and maybe even in our parent evenings we will speak passionately about not wanting divisiveness to arise in our class among the children or the parents. But I would say again, you have to think of it as a neutral term. Divisiveness are us is the sort of theme of the astral body. It divides things up so that they can be understood, so that they can be objectified. In fact, you'll see next year in grade 3 that what does Yahweh, the God of the Israelites, teach them to do? To divide things again and again. Meat from milk and silk from wool and things like that. It's all about a lot of division. And so this must arise. Though it's erratic, it will come and go. But when it comes, and it's very interesting how it will usually come to a group. It's not like one child will say to another, "I hate you." But rather, one child will somehow work with a lot of other children, and they all hate you. Not you, the teacher, so much, but rather among themselves. So, with this astral body in mind, I beseech you, be involved with the children's playtimes. You may very well have it in your schedule that your only free time, that someone else is watching the playground, and you have a little bit of time to prepare or take notes or just breathe. And I'm sorry to say, if that is your only free time, you're better off sacrificing it than facing the consequences of unsupervised play. Well, you may say, see, now this is unfortunate. We're, you know, online, I get to speak on your behalf, and you can't protest. But anyway, you may say, but we have a very experienced group of teachers out there, you know, people who've been doing this for years. And I will say to you that second grade is a different breed. They don't fit all of the rules. And as somebody who supervised playtimes myself many a time, you know, you're looking out there and you see all the children under 4'6" are fairly innocent. I must keep my eyes on all the children over 5'6" because they're the ones who really get in trouble and raise hell. And it's not true. The first graders and the third graders actually can play to some degree with just minimal supervision. Not the second graders and not the fourth graders. You've got to watch those even-numbered grades. So it's good if you're watching the children, because parents will be reporting to you things that are said by children, things that are done by children, and you will be clueless. And they'll feel that you're clueless, and that's not so good. You want them to maintain the confidence that they had in first grade, that you know to some extent anyway what you're doing. So watch that play. Now let's go back for a moment to that good angel and the work of that good angel within the child's nature, because you want to make a connection to that angel very strongly this year. Over a century ago, Rudolf Steiner predicted that by the end of the 20th century, science would discover the existence of the etheric body. And he said it would be very important because will they see it as something that transcends the physical, that is connected with it, but operates by very different laws and rules of its own? Or would they just sort of drag it down conceptually, reduce it to yet another aspect of the physical world and try to understand it and even manipulate it that way? And his prediction was quite right. We even have pretty much the exact year, which is 1982. And this was the discovery of and the naming of the immune system, the human immune system, which is, we might say, not the etheric body as such, but its signature. The work that it does has a great deal to do with that which protects us from anything inimical to us in the outer world. And indeed, science has done everything possible in its reductionist way to make it just look like an extension of some kind or other of the physical world. And we could say that all of the studies of and the work with genetic engineering and so on are efforts to manipulate etheric forces, which etheric forces, if not understood, are probably going to boomerang, and I think already have shown themselves capable of doing that. But that's a little beyond the scope of what we can do in second grade. However, we could say that's a modern way. That's the name that science gives the etheric body. In the past, it had other names, one of which is, especially in the Western world, and you've already used that name yourself in some of the fairy tales that you told the children in grade one, the older name for the etheric body was the guardian angel. Now, we usually think of the angel as not a body of the human being, but rather a separate being, a guardian angel, a being who, as the many illustrations show us, is outside the child with a kind of protective gesture, nearby, ready to catch the child if he's going to have a difficult fall, or trying to warn him not to take this or that path in the fairy tale. However, that is our own reductionist way of thinking of the angel. Those paintings are all kind of Victorian and more modern in nature, but actually it was understood, and one will see this in medieval iconography and more ancient iconography, that angel inhabits the etheric body of the human being. We could say it's a separate being, but for all practical purposes, there is a unity there, because the etheric body is capable of tremendous expansion and contraction. It's not spatial in the physical sense. We could say today, in a healthy child, up until third to fourth grade, that this is still the case, that the child's etheric body is occupied by its guardian angel. And this is why children are forever getting themselves into near disasters and somehow are pulled back from the jaws of broken legs or arms or all other kinds of things by the wisdom of this guardian angel, who also, we might say, is someone who is interested in what we're doing in the Waldorf classroom. We have to remember that Rudolf Steiner said, when the Waldorf school was opened in 1919, this is not just something for our world. It's not just something for children. It's not just a school. It's actually a deed for the spiritual world as well. That when we hold a class and we have, let's say, 24 children, you really should be counting 48 children, because 24 angels are there, we hope, for the most part, pretty much occupying the same space in our terms as the child is, or at least living slightly expanded with the child's etheric body. And they are there, and they are engaged, and they are interested. Okay, so why do I give you the picture then of these two angels on the shoulder, and one of them kind of able to find moments to whisper? And those little whispers, if heeded, can have tremendous ripples in the social life of the class anyway. It is because our work, though very appealing to the children's guardian angels, also in second grade is beginning to drive those angels away. What are we doing that would drive the angels away? No cheating, those of you who took the first grade conference, because I've already mentioned this to you. We are teaching the children to read and write. Reading and writing is of no interest to the guardian angel. It's of no interest to any angel. When we read and write, whether we are children or adults, our angel leaves us. The angelic hierarchy leaves us. This does not occupy them. In fact, it even is somewhat antithetical to their nature. And to protect themselves, they stop protecting us momentarily. Is there a way of avoiding this? Don't teach the children to read and write. That's what Steiner says anyway. This is all much too early, because his idea was age 11 or 12, at which time the healthy guardian angel is pulling away anyway. So it's not going to be such an intrusion into the protective mantle that is there around the child. However, we don't have the luxury of doing that. As we'll see when we talk about parents, the parents are starting, if they haven't been already, to breathe down your neck about their child reading. They won't even say writing. Parents don't seem to associate those two things. So anyway, this is a year in which you're going to be showing the parents, you hope, some results that Waldorf actually is a method that can teach children literacy. But the price you pay is that more and more, there are times in main lesson when the children are so focused on reading and writing that their angels will go. Not all of the children. There will be those who are still very sleepy and dreamy about all of this. And you know what's going to happen? That when the children then have driven their angel away a little bit, those who are more awake and those who are more engaged with second grade, their little astral bodies find space. They find the crack in the palace wall, or they find the door that's open in the city wall, and in they come, and they will whisper then, particularly to the more wakeful children, look at that dope over there. He can't even read. He's just dreaming. What a jerk. Okay, those are modern contemporary terms. I'm sure that the bad angels have a far more lofty vocabulary. But basically, this is what is going on. And this is the year where you begin to see a division between the more wakeful children, who may also be a little bit more incorporated, incarnated in their physical bodies, who are starting to move ahead in their work, and the dreamy children, whose consciousness is still closer to the first grader, even close to the older kindergartner, let's say. Now children start to become aware not only of differences in size, speed, and all of that, they become awake to differences in consciousness. And this is the work of the astral body, which, as I say, comes and goes, is only there for a split second or whatever. But as the angel withdraws to protect its own integrity by not being corrupted by reading and writing these letters and words, which have nothing to do with heavenly affairs, the child is opened up to a lower kind of astral life. This is exactly what the fables are about. The fables are the life jackets that we throw out to the children. They are the safety devices in the class. And this is why they are told in a very different way from the stories of good people. The stories of good people are a way of getting the angels to come back. Okay, everyone, coast is clear. We've stopped writing in our main lesson books. Let's light the candle. Shh. Okay, let's be very still. And some teachers even have a song or a verse that they use to invoke the spirit of the story. This is the child's angel. Angels love a good story. They're very connected to our memory forces. That's why they're drawn to our etheric body. They are our memory forces in certain ways because they've been with us more than in this life alone. So they come back. And those stories of good people who were trying to act out of the spirit of an angelic being are very appealing to them. Okay, so this is... I hope you will listen to this lecture again, especially this last part. You're probably not going to hear it anywhere else. And it is very, very important for us to understand that etheric body also means guardian angel, and astral body means not guardian angel. And it has its place and it must come. But second grade, the coming of the astral body, is usually not a piece of good news. We will go on in the next lecture.